نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, has gathered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah to whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the hellfire. Before we continue our class, I was just reflecting on this point, as we say it often, and sometimes we don't reflect, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, indeed the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. If we don't know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, and we take it upon our own intellect to make up how we're going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by inventing in this deen, firstly, all of that we invented, that we did, wasting all of our time, is just wasting our time. And not only is it a waste of our time, but it's the most evil of affairs. And it will lead you to the hellfire if you're worshipping Allah on other than that which was brought by Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I just wanted to remind myself and the brothers of this point, that we have to make sure that our worship is in accordance to this deen, based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Because if we're going to waste our time doing something, we want to do something that's going to benefit us and not to destroy us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Continue with the etiquette in Islam for the women. In the book Ahkam al-Tifl by Ahmed al-Aysawi, we come to the chapter Bab Ahkam al-Riba'. Ahkam al-Riba'. Chapter, the verdicts concerning breastfeeding. And then he brings the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 233, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَ وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ لَا تُكَلَّفُ نَفْسٌ إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لا تضار والدة بولدها ولا مولود له بولده وعلى الوارث مثل ذلك فإن أراد فصالا عن تراض منهما وتشاور فلا جناح عليهما وإن أردتم أن تسترضعوا أولادكم فلا جناح عليكم إذا سلمتم ما آتيتم بالمعروف واتقوا الله واعلموا أن الله بما تعملون بصير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, beginning these verdicts concerning breastfeeding, in this verse 233 from Baqarah, as Muhsin Khan translates, the mothers shall give suck to their children for 2 whole years. That is for those parents who desire to complete the term of suckling. But the father of the child shall bear the cost of the mother's food and clothing on a reasonable basis. No person shall have a burden laid on him greater than he can bear. No mother shall be treated unfairly on account of her child, nor a father on account of his child. And on the father's heir is incumbent the life of that which was incumbent on the father. If they both decide on weaning by mutual consent and after due consultation, there is no sin on them. And if you decide on a foster suckling mother for your children, there is no sin on you, provided you pay the mother what you agree to give her on reasonable basis. And fear Allah and know that Allah is the all-seer of what you do. The Shaykh Ahmed Al-Aisawi says that from this ayah, we have some verdicts in Islam pertaining to breastfeeding that is stemming from this ayah, and he goes to detail them. As he says, the first verdict is the question, what is meant by the mothers in this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the mothers shall give suck to their children for 2 whole years. He says that what is meant by the mothers in this ayah is the general term, meaning all mothers, whether they are married to their husbands or whether they are divorced from their ex-husbands. As the text just says, in general, as we read it, the translation, the mothers. And there's no evidence to show that it is specifically for those mothers who are divorced. And this is what we see to be the most weightiest position, inshallah ta'ala, and Allah knows best. Here Ahmed Al-Aisawi, Rahimahullah, he shows that what is meant by the mothers in this ayah means those who are still married and those who are divorced. As some of the ulama, they say that this ayah is referring to the mothers who are divorced. But Allah doesn't call these women divorced in this ayah, even though the ayahs before it are pertaining to women who are divorced. And this ayah, Allah makes it general, and someone has to have evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah to show that this general statement means something specific. So it means the general statement of the mothers, whether they are recently divorced or they are still with their parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next point that the Shaykh brings is it compulsory on the mother to breastfeed her children? Is it compulsory on the mother to breastfeed her children? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the mother shall give suck or shall breastfeed their children for 2 whole years. That is for those parents who decide to complete the term of breastfeeding. Some of the ulama say that it is compulsory for the mother to breastfeed her children because of this statement, the mothers shall breastfeed their children. This is a statement by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means a commandment. And in oftentimes in the Arabic language and in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a statement, and by this statement, a commandment is meant. Meaning, I command the mothers to breastfeed their children. However, the overwhelming majority of the ulama of fiqh, they say that what is meant by this commandment, and everyone agrees that it's a commandment, that it's a statement, and what is meant by it is a commandment. But then they go on to say that this commandment is really a recommendation, and that it's not compulsory on the mother to breastfeed her child. That it's only recommended that she breastfeed her child. However, in two cases, it will be compulsory on her to breastfeed her child, and that is if the child isn't accepting the milk of anyone other than the mother. At that time, it becomes compulsory on the mother to breastfeed the child. And then this would be a consensus of all of the ulama in this case. And then in the other case, where the father, he doesn't have the money to pay for someone else to breastfeed the child, then it becomes compulsory on the mother to breastfeed the child in this case. The people supporting with this second position, they take this position because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the other verse in Surah Al-Talaq, when تَعَصَرْتُمْ فَسَتُرْضِعُ لَهُ أُخْرَى, If you find any difficulty, then let someone else breastfeed. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he's saying let someone else breastfeed, that shows that it's not compulsory on the mother to breastfeed. However, this ayah from the surah Talaq, which is the chapter of divorce in the Quran, is pertaining to the divorced women specifically. And we said that this ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah was pertaining to the women in general, which would make the first position more stronger, and that is that it is compulsory on the women to breastfeed their children. And this is what we see to be the weightiest position, as the Shaykh is saying, inshallah ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Soon, inshallah ta'ala, we're hoping that we're going to have a series of lectures about affairs of the dunya. And I hope that this subject of breastfeeding and the benefits of breastfeeding will be one of the subjects, inshallah ta'ala, to encourage the women to breastfeed. As if the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the ulama are varying between their position, the two positions, is it compulsory for the mother to breastfeed her child, or is it just recommended for the lady to breastfeed her child? If this isn't enough, we hope that some of maybe some of the sisters can set up a gathering or something where they would encourage one another to breastfeed their children in accordance to ayat in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. The next verdict stemming from this ayat is how long must a child be breastfed if it's going to take, if that child is going to, I don't even know how we say that. Let me just try to explain in other words, inshallah ta'ala. If a lady breastfeeds other people's children, when the lady breastfeeds the children, then those children, that lady becomes like a mother to those children. And then the verdicts between a child and his mother would take place. How much must a lady breastfeed a child in order for the verdicts to take place like that's her child? Meaning, if the lady has her own children, say she has some sons, and then she breastfeeds some daughters, somebody else's daughters, how much should she breastfeed those daughters in order to make those daughters like her daughters so that they can't marry her own sons? Say it a little clearer, inshallah ta'ala. So the issue is before, when a lady breastfeeds someone else's children, that there's a certain amount of breastfeedings or sittings. As the lady breastfeeds a child until the child's head is full, then she lets the child go and play. That's considered one feeding. How many feedings before that child becomes like your child? And then we're going to get to that chapter, inshallah ta'ala. But this is just stemming from that ayat, and the Shaykh was just mentioning that this is a verdict that's going to come from that. And then we're going to take a look at the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, on how many would make it like it's the lady's child, and that the verdicts would stem from that. But we'll get to that there, inshallah ta'ala. We'll get to that point. The other point is, how do you determine how much money must the breastfeeding lady get for her child, for her children? The lady is breastfeeding her children, your wife or your ex-wife. She's breastfeeding your children. Okay, how much money should she get if she's breastfeeding to take care of her food and clothing or whatever, so she can be healthy enough to breastfeed that child? The Shaykh, he says, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it's on the father to provide clothing and provisions for the lady on a reasonable basis. What is a reasonable basis? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in Surah Al-Talaq, where he says, لَيُنْفِقَ ذُو سَاعَةٍ مِّن سَاعَتِهِ وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقَ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and let the one who is wealthy provide like he is wealthy. and let the one whose means are restricted, or the one who is poor, then let him provide out of what Allah has given him. Allah doesn't burden a soul except with what he has given it. So here, you determine how much the lady gets according to how much the father is making. If the father is making a lot, then he's going to give the lady a lot. Not to say that, oh, women can make it on this amount. No, yes, women can make it on that amount, but not the women of rich men like you. So the man, he has to provide out of his means and not just on what's considered sufficient for the lady. But the man who has a lot of money, he's going to provide like he has a lot of money. And then the man who is poor, then he's going to provide like he is poor. And Allah doesn't burden a soul except with what Allah has given him. Walhamdulillah. Also, we see, and I'm kind of adding this point as one of the points from this ayah, and that is that we see that in general, the responsibility of provisions for the child falls on the father, and that it is compulsory for the father to provide for his children, even as some of the ulama had mentioned in our times, to say if a man was separated from his wife in America, and then that lady moved to China, it would be compulsory on that man to find out where in China is his children and then provide for them in China, though he's still living in America, to show how compulsory it is on the man. If the lady doesn't tell him, if the lady doesn't tell her ex-husband where she's going, some of the ulama say it's on the father to find out where they at and then give the money straight to the children if the mother has a problem. So here we see the ulama just emphasizing the obligation on the parents to take care of their children. This responsibility falls on the father and on no one other than him until he dies. And we'll get to that inshallah. As the next verdict that stems from this ayah is the statement of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, no mother shall be treated unfairly on account of her child, nor a father on account of his child. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing in the case of, in cases if a divorce takes place or something, that maybe there's a little something between the mother and the father. And then they're going to use the advantage of the child to harm each other. They're going to use it, okay, that's the child. The father won't take care of the lady properly because of whatever took place, and then he's going to harm his child, or the mother, because of whatever she has, she's going to use her weight in order to harm the father. And the ulama have given an example I wanted to mention. At any rate, let's just leave it at that, inshallah ta'ala, that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that no one should use their child and the issue of breastfeeding and how much provisions they should get in order to harm each other, either the mother or the father, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits that. The next verdict that stems from this ayah is the statement of Allah, and on the father's heir is incumbent the like of that which is incumbent on the father. This just shows that in the absence of the father, that whoever is the heir is going to be responsible for the provisions of that child. Meaning maybe the brother or another one of his sons or something like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, as the ulama, they differ on who actually is the heir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The other verdict that stems from this ayah is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they both decide on weaning by mutual consent and after due consultation, there is no sin on them. So if the parents, if they agree as the issue was coming back to it being compulsory or highly recommended for the mother to breastfeed the child. However, if the mother and the father agree, listen, the mother is not going to breastfeed the child, let so-and-so take care of it. Then if the father agrees, then okay, the father can pay for someone else other than the mother to breastfeed the child, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this permissible with his statement here in this ayah. Yes.
Does it also mean that this they agree that the mother is going to breastfeed for the complete 2 years rather than the weaning of the father? That means that the child will also be
You're saying if they agree that the mother is the one who's going to breastfeed it, except 2 years, that that goes, that's one understanding that goes, inshallah ta'ala, and the same thing with someone else breastfeeding it, as this is the other point that's coming up with the statement, وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ إِسْتِرْضَ وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ أَن تَسْتَرْضِعُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا سَلَّمْتُمْ مَا آتَيْتُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That if you wanted to have someone else to breastfeed your child, then there's no problem with it so long as you pay the money for it on a reasonable basis. So both of these positions are jazakallahu khairan, that if they agreed that the child is not going to do the whole 2 year period, if they agreed on it, then it's okay. If they agreed, and if they agreed to have someone else breastfeed the child, if both of them agree, then that's also okay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And these were the verdicts that had stemmed from this ayah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Shaykh, he brought another ayah from Surah Al-Talaq, and this just kind of adds in what we have already seen from this ayah, but I'll read it. This is ayah number 7 from Surah Al-Talaq, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, excuse me, ayah number 6, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the middle of this ayah, فَإِنْ أَرْضَعْنَ لَكُمْ فَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ وَأْتَمِرُوا بَيْنَكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَإِنْ تَعَاسَرْتُمْ فَسَتُرْضِعُ لَهُ أُخْرَى لِيُنْفِقُ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِنْ سَعَتِهِ وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا فَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 6 and 7 of the chapter of divorce, but if you make difficulties for one another, then some other women may give suck for the child. Let's back up a little bit. Then if you give suck to the children for if, then if they, meaning the women who have been divorced, if they give suck to your children for you, then give them their due payment and let each of you accept the advice of the other in a just way. But if you make difficulties for one another, then some other women may give suck for him, the father of the child. Let the rich man spend according to his means, and let the man whose resources are restricted, let him spend according to what Allah has given him. Allah puts no burden on any person beyond what he has given him. Allah will grant after hardship ease. So here we see in this ayah, that which is basically related to the first ayah of breastfeeding the child and the man providing for his children. There was another point that had come up that seemed to be a contradiction between the Quran and the Sunnah, as one of the women had questioned before. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the man that he has to give that lady provisions and food. And we know that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Hadith of Nasa'i, he says, إِنَّمَا النَّفَقَةُ وَالسُّكْنَى لِلْمَرْأَةِ إِذَا كَانَ لِزَوْجِهَا عَلَيْهَا الرَّجْعَى. That provisions and shelter is for a lady so long as if she's divorced and he has the ability to take her back. Meaning if a man divorces his wife the first time or the second time, where he has the ability to take her back during the iddah period. During this period, this is the only period where the lady gets provisions and shelter. If she's divorced for the third time, which means he can't take her back, then there's no provisions for her and no shelter for her, as the Messenger of Allah ﷺ says, except if she's pregnant. Okay, here, the lady had delivered the baby and the divorce had taken place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seems in this ayah as He's telling the men that they have to provide for that lady, even if the lady is divorced. This ayah, if the women are divorced, and the divorce has taken place, the lady went through her iddah period, and she's divorced. For the example that a man divorced his wife while she was pregnant, at the time she delivered the baby, the divorce became final, and then the lady was taking care of the child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the men to take care of those women who are breastfeeding the children. Okay, how can the man have to provide for that lady when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said that there's no provisions and no shelter for the lady except when you have the ability to take her back and the divorce is complete and you're not taking her back? This ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the provisions go to the mother, but in fact the provisions is for the child. But when the child is at that age where the mother is breastfeeding, then there's no way to provide for that child except through the mother. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had used the mothers when He was really referring to the children. And this is why we say that this ayah, or the ulama, they say that this ayah shows that it's compulsory on the men to take care of their children. Although the ayah says the mothers, it's only using the mothers because at that early stage, it's no way for a man to provide for his children except through his mother, by feeding her and clothing her and keeping her sheltered so that she can breastfeed the child properly. So the provisions isn't really for the lady after the divorce has taken place. The provisions is for the child, but you have to go through means of the mother. And this shows that there's no contradiction, alhamdulillah, between the Quran and the Sunnah. The next chapter is the chapter Jawazul Ghila wa hiya waful murdi'. Chapter, it is permissible to practice ghila, and this is to have sex with a lady who's breastfeeding. And then he brings the hadith of Imam Muslim, who says haddathana Khalf ibn Hisham qala haddathana Malik ibn Anas. And then there's another chain. قال حدثنا يحيى بن يحيى واللفظ له قال قرأت على مالك عن محمد بن عبد الرحمن بن نوفل عن عروة عن عائشة رضي الله عنها عن جدامة بنت وهب الأسدية أنها سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لقد هممت أن أنهى عن الغيلة حتى ذكرت أن الروم وفارس يصنعون ذلك فلا يضر أولادهم. And this hadith is authentic, where the Messenger of Allah where Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he says it was reported to us by Khalaf ibn Hisham, who said that it was reported to us by Malik ibn Anas, and then the other chain which says it was reported to us by Yahya ibn Yahya, and this is his narration, who said that I read to Malik on the authority of Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Nawfal, on the authority of Urwa, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, on the authority of Judama bint Wahb al-Asadiyya, that she heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, I wanted to prevent ghila, a man having sex with his wife who was breastfeeding. And then I remembered that the people of Rome, the Romans and the Persians, do that and it doesn't harm their children. So here from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it shows that it is permissible for a man to have sex with his wife if she's breastfeeding. And then there's a lot of talk from the ulama around this issue, and that is if a lady is breastfeeding and then the man is having relations with her and then she becomes pregnant, while she's breastfeeding, then that milk changes. That milk, when she becomes pregnant, while she's breastfeeding, the milk changes. And some of the doctors, they say that this milk could be possibly harmful for the child. In the sense that this milk doesn't contain the same nutrition that it would normally have if the lady wasn't pregnant while she was breastfeeding. And then this would make the children weak. And of course, this was, I guess, before the times that we have all of this extra stuff in order to make up the slack if the mother's breast milk isn't up to par. And maybe this might be something for the people of medicine to look in for us to see how it really affects the children. As the ulama, they say that this was the custom of the past, that the people used to stay away from their wives while they were breastfeeding, or if they had relations with them, then they would do the withdrawal method in order to try to keep the lady from getting pregnant so that she doesn't mess up her milk, thus messing up her child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next chapter is the chapter دَفْعُ الْوَلَدْ إِلَى غَيْرِ أُمِّهِ لِتُرْضِعَهُ, chapter giving the child to other than its mother to breastfeed it. And this is a long hadith. I'll just summarize it in general. This is a hadith of Muslim where Ibrahim, where the son of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibrahim, was given to other than the mother of Ibrahim to feed the child. And this hadith, and the Shaykh is just using this hadith, and it's long because of our time. We wanted to shorten it up to just show that it's permissible to give the child to other than the mother to breastfeed, and it's okay, as the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Chapter, the next chapter, من قال لا رضاعة بعد حولين, the chapter who says that there is no breastfeeding after the 2 year period. And then they use the ayat that we were referring to, and the mothers breastfeed their children for 2 years complete for those women who want to complete the breastfeeding period. And then he brings the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, who says حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو الْوَلِيدِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا شُعْبَ عَنِ الْأَشْعَثِ عن أبيه عن مسروق عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل عليها وعندها رجل فكأنه تغير وجهه فكأنه كره ذلك فقالت إنه أخي فقال انظرنا ما إخوانكن فإنما الرضاعة من المجاعة. Here the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, in this hadith, Aisha reports that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered upon her and she was with a man, and it was as if the Prophet's face turned a little upset. You come to your wife and your wife's with another man, as if he hated what was going on. So she said, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, this is my brother. So the Prophet said, you look at who your brothers are, because the rada'a, this breastfeeding, only comes when somebody's been breastfed a lot of times. In those days, and these I guess are before our days, where you had a lot of women used to breastfeed a lot of people, and maybe the people a little older could remember, where maybe the mother had to just go take care of some business for the day, and maybe one of the neighbors babysitting just breastfed the child a couple times or something like that. And that this was seemed to be common then, you know, that somebody would have just breastfed him one time, or that person one time, or whatever like that. Maybe the mother was a little tired, her girlfriend was over, or whatever. Can you just breastfeed him? I'm a little tired right now. And like that. And then they would call all of these people their brothers because of all of these little breastfeeding. And the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, you got to make sure that it's a lot of breastfeeding, not just one and two times, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam shows in the other hadith, that this thing of breastfeeding that's going to make somebody a brother or a sister, or to take those verdicts like a mother and a child, isn't for one or two times, but it's for a whole lot of times. For a whole lot of times that would make someone like this. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing, or the Shaykh is showing from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that breastfeeding is only during 2 years. Because the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that the breastfeeding has to be done for a whole lot of time, referring to the time when the baby needs it most, and that is in those first 2 years. You can imagine if somebody was 4 years old and 5 years old, they say like some people might still be breastfeeding or get a little at that age, that it wouldn't be the type of breastfeeding like the breastfeeding of a child 2 years and younger, where you have to constantly breastfeed it, as a child is basically living on breast milk. So here the Shaykh is using this hadith along with that ayah to show that some people say that there's no breastfeeding after 2 years. Then the Shaykh, he brings in the next chapter, which is the number of breastfeedings that will make the child to the one who breastfed it like a mother to the child. In this case, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he brings his statement, لَا تُحَرِّمُ الْمَصَّةِ وَالْمَصَّةَانِ, that a breastfeeding or two breastfeeding, it doesn't make any, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't make that child to the lady who breastfed it like a mother to her child. And then the Shaykh brings some other ones, some other hadith, until he brings the last hadith of Muslim, who says, حدثنا يحيى بن يحيى قال قرأت على مالك عن عبد الله بن أبي بكر عن عمرة عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أنها قالت كان فيما أنزل من القرآن 10 رضاعات معلومات يحرمنا ثم نسخنا بخمس معلومات فتوفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهن فيما يقرأ من القرآن. And this authentic hadith of Muslim, he says, it was reported to us by Yahya ibn Yahya, who said that I read to Malik on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr, on the authority of Umrah, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said it used to be from that which was revealed to the Quran was 10 breastfeedings that was well known, that would make the mother who breastfeeds to the one who she breast, to the lady who breastfed to the child like a mother to her child. And then that was abrogated to 5 breastfeedings. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, and it was still read in the Quran like this. We'll just complete after that, inshallah. So here we see from this hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that it used to be verses in the Quran that explain that there used to be 10 breastfeeding to make that child to the breastfeeding mother like a child to her mother. Then that was abrogated, and 5 breastfeedings became the verdict. And this was the verdict that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died upon while the people were reading the Quran. This statement that the people continued to read the Quran at the death of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and 5 breastfeedings were there, the ulama, they explained this isn't that it was still in the Quran at the death of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. The recitation was abrogated and the verdict remained at the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, but it was so close to his death that some of the people didn't hear of the abrogation of that verse that they memorized. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated what he abrogated from the Quran, and some of the abrogation, the recitation was abrogated and the verdict remained behind. And this is a case where the recitation was abrogated, meaning that the verse is no longer recited in the Quran. However, the verdict still remains, and we still worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to that verdict that used to be recited in the Quran, as in this example of the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. At any rate, we see from this that there should be 5, at least 5 breastfeedings while the child is younger than 2 years, in order for that child to be to the lady who breastfed her like a child is to her mother. The next chapter is the chapter Labanul Fahl, and this is the man's breast milk. And the ulama, they say the man's breast milk, not because he has breast milk, but because of his wife doing the breastfeeding. And this is the case Let me just try to give the case that they give, inshallah ta'ala. A man, he has two wives. One of his wives breastfeeds a little girl. The other wife breastfeeds a little boy more than five times. Okay, that little boy and that little girl won't be able to marry one another. Okay, how would you say that when that's a lady and that's her case, and then that's another lady and that's her case? Because that man is husband to those two women, then this is like the man's, like you're saying, the man's breast milk, because those were his wives. So his wives breastfeeding something is going to come back to him a little bit. And because both of them come back to him, will make those two people not permissible to marry one another. Anyway, a lot of these cases don't necessarily apply to us, and we're just running through them. But if someone feels that this case comes to him, inshallah ta'ala, we can sit down in private and try to do our best to cover the case, inshallah ta'ala. The last case, inshallah ta'ala, is the hadith of a Muslim where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this was in the time where people used to adopt the children, meaning you make him your child. You take somebody else's child and you make him your child. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to call the people by their father's name, meaning give everybody his original lineage back. Don't say that's your son. Say that's so-and-so's son, and I'm his foster parent, taking care of him and raising him. When this was revealed, some of the people have adopted it, as in this case of Salam Mawla Hudhaifa. Sahla, she's saying to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, okay, now he's my foster child. He's not my child. Okay, I used to uncover around him. Now I got to cover back around him because he's not my child. And he's a man just like any other man. And now it's going to be very uncomfortable. I raised the boy, but he's not my boy. And now, because of this ayah, it's going to be uncomfortable for me to cover around him. And he's in my house. I raised him. He's like my son. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, breastfeed him. So she said, how in the world am I going to breastfeed him? He's a big man. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just laughed or smiled and said, yeah, I'm aware that he's a big man. Here, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing that you can breastfeed someone after that 2-year period. And at first we said that the breastfeeding must take place during that 2-year period for the 5 times or more to show that it's going to make the lady and who she breastfeeds like a mother to the child. Okay, how is it in this case where the lady is just going to breastfeed somebody already grown so that they can become like mother and child? The ulama say, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, this is an exception on cases like this exceptional case. And anyone who finds themselves in an exceptional case, where it's difficult because of the fostering of the children and what have you, or the intermarrying and this man's child and son and cousin and all of that stuff, where the women would have to cover around people in the same household. In those special cases, then it would be permissible for the lady to breastfeed the boy or whoever, the man or whoever related, in order to make them like a mother to a child, so that she can uncover or take off her khimar and the presence of that man in her house. So the ulama are using this hadith not to just say in general, point blank, anytime someone just wants to be close. For example, a brother wants to be the wali of a sister. Okay, in our case, so the brother is being a wali. He doesn't know anything about the sister. How can he represent the sister properly? You know, and he wants to be a mahram and everything, as the sisters are having difficulties without the mahram if they're not married because their family isn't Muslim and so on and so forth, that they would just go breastfeed whoever to make him their mahram so she can make a hajj, or he can be like a real wali and like get to know the sister and what have you. We see the case of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, where the lady raised a boy like that was her boy. You adopt him when he was a little boy, you raised him up. Now the verdict is clear. No, he's not your boy. He's so-and-so's son. And you just raising him. That's it. He's just as strange to you as any other lady. Okay, when that verdict changed, you can see how difficult it would have been on that lady and on that family when it's like she's giving up her boy. And the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, made that verdict. And I hope that the people take this into consideration, that they make sure that their case is really an exceptional case and not just to take every little chance in order to do something like this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And these are some of the verdicts pertaining to breastfeeding. And maybe when we begin to practice a little more Islam, then these verdicts will become a little more important to us when we become a real community and what have you. But for now, we just want to cover them in brief, to know that Islam is a complete deen and it covers every single aspect of our lives. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I hope the people don't mind. I just want to hold off Maghrib for a couple of minutes and handle these questions, inshallah. So after Maghrib, we can leave. Question begins, please don't hurt my feelings. In general, I try not to hurt anybody's feelings, and perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I don't have the intent on hurting anyone's feelings. But sometimes, as we used to say in Jahiliyyah, the truth hurts. And sometimes if you explain it, that it might hurt a person, but they shouldn't look at the hurt. They should just look at the issue, if it goes for you or against you, that this is the deen of Islam, and if the shoe fits, we have to wear it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us strong in our iman. What should a sister do if she is pregnant and she finds out that her husband fornicated with a kafir? When she says she finds out, you know this is a statement of slander, really. Unless the man is confessing, I was with the kafir. Or she has her four witnesses who said, I saw it go in that, and they were doing it. And really, this is almost impossible to find four righteous people of deen and character to say, I saw it go in, and they did it. I mean, this is even astaghfirullah, maybe even on some of those films, you can't even see all of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That's the first point, that the sister shouldn't just assume, like you come in the house and you saw something under the blanket and you jumped up, nobody had on any clothes. Okay, that don't mean they were doing anything. Because you didn't. I mean, Islamically, there's no such thing as this framing, like all of the evidence led to that and so on and so forth. If nobody saw it, the four righteous witnesses, it doesn't mean anything. And it's a bad statement to say. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these bad statements are for bad people. And we know that this was the case with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She's with a young boy. She's young. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an old man. What is an old man going to do for a young lady? Not the same thing that that young boy could do. And you know that they hung behind and all of that. And you know that people slandered Aisha, the mother of the believers radiallahu ta'ala anha, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed those verses to free her from the statements of the people that they were saying that Aisha, the mother of the believers, fornicated. So let's not just assume in the beginning that somebody committed fornication. What should she do? She is really concerned about this and is really confused about the situation. Really, that there's only one cure for that. That the man be stoned to death if he confessed. Really, that's the only cure, and that's the only real thing that can be done. Islam is the true deen, and it has the solution to all of our situations. Okay, we're weak. We're not in the land of the Muslims. We can't execute any of these punishments. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to improve our situation. And that's the best we can do. And the sister, she just has to make a decision. Am I going to forgive him and remain as his wife? Or I can't forgive him and I want to be divorced or separated from him. There's another part, you know, I have to read this aloud. I understand that it is compulsory on the brothers to keep on assuming the responsibilities of caring for his children. But is it a very sad state? But it is a very sad state of affairs when these brothers do not, either because of divorce or other things that happen, and Allah knows best the situation. Shouldn't there be something that they should be able to do, meaning the sisters, to get what is due to their children? Especially when these sisters don't have the means to actually provide for herself or her children, not meaning extravagantly. Really, it's compulsory, and what we can do is to remind the brothers of their responsibilities and try not to be so friendly with them, and to really encourage the brothers to live up to their responsibilities, as we're not in an Islamic state where we can go to the Muslim court and make a verdict on these criminal fathers who don't take care of their children, unfortunately. So the women, they have to be patient, because this is a situation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had tested them with in the early days of Iman here in America, and they just have to be patient until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala improves their condition. Because we're going to say, and hopefully the talk is soon, inshallah ta'ala, the talk about the shameless women. These women who think that it's permissible, because Allah tests them with some poverty, that they can go to the kuffar and ask the kuffar to come down on the Muslims. This is haram in this deen of Islam, and no way can the women go to the kuffar. No way can the women go to the kuffar. The women have to be patient with their circumstances, and this is only a cry from the women to us brothers that we need to get on one another and make sure that we're taking care of our responsibilities. In regards to the milk of the breastfeeding woman changing when she becomes pregnant, what should she do, or what should she give her child in place of the breast milk? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Maybe some of the people who know about medicine or whatever, they can handle that question, and Allah knows best. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Yes.
I'm glad that you touched on the issue, because that paper was leading to going to the kuffar. But the other part of that statement is the responsibility of you and the people that are responsible in the country for these brothers who are not taking care of their children that they have a need for. It reminds us one thing, when it gets to the point where they disregard, it reminds us when you enforce that statement that you made in the kuffar about exposing
them. Yeah, the brother's asking, as I said, that if these brothers, if they don't come forth to take care of their children, then we're just going to have to come out and start exposing the people so that we can know who's amongst us, so that everybody can get involved in making these brothers responsible and take care of their responsibilities. Inshallah ta'ala, there's a lot of responsibility here, and for a long time I've been looking at this issue, and hopefully the community, inshallah ta'ala, is going to be helpful, because what I had in mind was firstly sitting these brothers down to see if this is the case, because we know the women, they have what they feel should be provision, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already showed us how the man provides, how much the man should provide. Nobody is going to determine how much the man should provide except the man's salary. This is going to determine how much he's going to provide, not the children's circumstances or what the lady feels or what have you. The man's salary, his means, is going to determine how much he's going to provide for his children. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if he's rich, he's going to provide like he's rich, and if he's poor, he's going to provide like he's poor. So what we're going to do in all of these cases, inshallah ta'ala, when they come, we're going to sit the man down, and we're brothers in Islam, alhamdulillah, and hopefully no man would have any problem discussing with us how much money he makes and how much he has to spend out, so everybody can see that he's actually providing according to his means, and if so, then he's justified and he's okay, and everybody has to leave him alone, even if the sister or the children don't feel that he's giving enough. And if he's found guilty, then hopefully he won't be, that he'll start, inshallah ta'ala, paying according. Otherwise, we'll have to come out on these people, and we hope that it never gets to that level, inshallah ta'ala. Because we want to, inshallah ta'ala, have everything go in our favor, instead of having each other exposed, and all of us have our faults. And Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Walhamdulillah.